We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, 24 to actually 25 to 34. Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 34, as we continue our series called Kingdom First. I wanted to kind of start by today by letting you know, like, maybe behind the scenes a little bit. What happens? How in the world do we come to a place where we're preaching a particular series? And one thing that you should know is, like, we plan way in advance. In fact, we had a team this week that was working on planning for 2021 and all the series and all those kinds of things that would be taking place, what we'll study, what we'll think about, all of that. And now last year at this time, when we were thinking about this year at this time, and we positioned this series called Kingdom First, we thought that it might be a little political this time of year. Has anyone noticed anything like in the wind politically or anything? I mean, so you didn't have to be a prophet a year ago to guess, you know, this is going to be a political nightmare, probably, and it has turned out to thus be true. And we thought, you know, people will be raising their flags, their party flags, their pundit flags, their issue flags, you know, all those kinds of things. But the difference would be for the Church of Jesus Christ, that if the church, of the larger Church of Jesus Christ, the United States of America, could think kingdom first and let that affect everything else, that would be the difference maker. That would be the salt and light if we were kingdom people during this time. So that's why we chose to focus this way at this time. And our first sermon we did was, Pastor Zach did that in this series. It was citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. We talked a lot about our identity as kingdom people because of Jesus. And then the second week, we talked about what the kingdom of God is not. The third week, we talked about what the kingdom of God is. And we defined it this way. I'm going to give you the definition one more time. The kingdom is the heavenly reign of Jesus here and now, living in recognition of his kingdom, kingship on earth as it is in heaven. So we talked about what the kingdom is. Today, Jesus gives us this verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, that is really stunning and comes after a lengthy teaching where he simply says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And so today what we want to talk about, now that we kind of know what the kingdom is and the kingdom isn't, we know our identity in Christ makes us kingdom people, is actually what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? And so to do that, we'll read Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to ask you to stand. We'll read verses 25 to 34. If you're our guest, we say this phrase, the very words, just after the main text reading to distinguish God's word from my own. So here's what the scripture says. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put in it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, and will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You can be seated. All right, so here's the deal. Seeking first the kingdom of God is the way that Jesus expects followers of Jesus to live. bar none. It's very clear in scripture. I mean, he is saying things all the time like, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Here he says, seek first of primary importance the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Yet we live in tension between kingdom and culture. Have you ever felt that tension? That tension that says, well, this is what the kingdom is about, and this is what the culture is about, and I'm stuck somewhere in the middle, and I'm being pulled both ways, and I don't know which way I'm going to go. And that tension really shows itself in a number of ways. We have tension of priorities. What will our priorities reflect? Will they be the kingdom priorities or the cultural priorities? And every generation, since the time of Christ and before, every generation has had to deal with the conflict, the tension between kingdom and culture. There's not only the tension of priorities, there's the tension of politics, which we have felt even in these days. Will we embrace the truths of the kingdom or fall into this like cesspool of political movement? Will the kingdom impact our politics, or will our politics impact our view of the kingdom? Third way is tension of personal gain. So here's the thing about the kingdom. It's all about the glory of God. The kingdom is all about the glory of God and the expansion of his kingdom. There's one king. It's all about his glory. It's not about my glory. It's all about his glory. In the culture, I can live for my glory. And so there's this tension between the kingdom of God and the culture when it comes to the idea of personal gain. What about the tension of personal relationships? You ever had anybody, you know what the kingdom deal is, are you people pulling you toward the culture? Or maybe you're like, you know what the cultural deal is, and people are pulling you toward the kingdom. You have personal relationships that actually impact, that add to this tension between kingdom and culture. And this is very real for us. We are living in tension between kingdom and culture. It's very real for every disciple of Jesus that has ever walked the planet. And the tension causes anxiety because we're forced to make decisions. Are we going to go the kingdom way or the culture way? Sometimes going the kingdom way makes you feel like if I do that, I'm like stepping off this cliff. Anybody ever seen the Indiana Jones movies? Come on, please tell me you have. Classics. This is the one scene where he's getting ready to step off the cliff, and until he steps off, right, that bridge shows up, that invisible bridge shows up out of nowhere, and he walks across. Yeah, but we feel like that when we think, okay, if I choose this Jesus way, what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? What am I going to, you know? And that's the questions that's being asked in this text. And we begin to be anxious because there are decisions to make between kingdom and culture. And so Jesus gives us these instructions, and really, you can't really just take Matthew 6:33 out, although that's what we're going to look at, but you have to understand the context of the whole, is that Jesus has just taught an amazing sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. He said incredible things like, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And he's like restated the entire law into love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, love your neighbor as yourself. He's made it difficult. At the same time, like, you know, you've heard it said, don't be angry with your brother, but don't murder, but I say, if you've been angry with your brother, you've already committed murder in your heart. Like, oh no, you know, I'm a sinner, right? So it's been a tough sermon, a tough lesson, a tough message. And it goes from there into just how do we pray? How do we live? How do we walk? What about our treasure? He's talking about very personal things. And when he speaks to us as disciples of Jesus, he tells us, he instructs us here in Matthew chapter 6. We are instructed to pray and to live with the kingdom as primary importance. Pray and live with the kingdom as primary importance. So what I want you to see in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it has a tie to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 12, which is the Lord's Prayer. How many of you memorized the Lord's Prayer somewhere along the way? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, there's a tie from Matthew 6, 33 directly to this prayer. And it's as if Jesus is saying, you need to live and you need to pray, you need to pray, you need to live with the kingdom as of primary importance. So let's just break down Matthew 6:33. If you'll go there, one verse, And it begins with this conjunction, but. And it means, you know, because of all the other things that have come until now, because of everything that Jesus has said up until this moment, which in just broad terms are things like, hey, be salt and light out there. Don't be angry. Love your enemy. Love your neighbor. All of these kinds of things. Here's how to pray. Here's how to fast. Here's what it means to have real treasure. Because of all these things, don't be anxious, but, and this is what he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. If you look at the Lord's Prayer, the first part, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in our prayer life, every day we are to pray, aligning our heart with the sovereign King of the universe and recognizing this is his kingdom. That his kingdom is the purpose, that his kingship is the glory, that his kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven is part of my mission, what I do with my hands and my feet every day. And so we pray this way and align our hearts. But then Jesus says, not only pray that way, live that way. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, seek is an interesting term because it's not like passive, stand there and maybe the kingdom of God will sweep you up in it. No, it's an active. It's follow me, like Jesus said, come follow me. It's to chase after, to seek after, to run after the kingdom of God as primary importance first. It's not first in a line of things. It's the most important thing. Okay. So we are then to pray, our Father in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we are also to live seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, the second thing that it says is that we not only do we seek the kingdom of God, but we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So again, this is how we live out our prayer. We've learned to pray, our Father in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But this is the second way that we live out that prayer. We seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So look at the Lord's Prayer again, verses 12 and 13 of chapter 6. It says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is how we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So what we learn is that we cannot make ourselves righteous on our own. How many of you know that? Like in your flesh, not righteous, but because of Christ, because of his work on the cross, what the gospel says, the good news is that he's forgiven us, he's changed us, given us a new identity, of all of us who would believe in him, he's made us new, he's made us righteous. Paul says it's like he's putting on a righteous robe around us. Our robes were tattered and torn and dirty. He took those and put a righteous robe on us. He did it. We couldn't do it, but in life, as we walk, we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We do this according to the prayer. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. We ask for forgiveness, we repent, and we forgive those who have sinned against us. We beg God in the spiritual battle that we're in, where we're trying to seek God, seek the kingdom of God as primary importance, we beg him, don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one or from evil, right? So his righteousness is his doing, but we get it as we seek him. And this is a tie to the Lord's Prayer. And on the very third thing that it says here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, and all these things will be added to you. I mean, Jesus has just been saying, hey, quit worrying. If you follow me, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. You know, all those things. I take care of the very birds. I'll take care of you. You matter way more. Don't worry about that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, that's not a prosperity gospel sort of phraseology that says you're gonna live in a mansion, you're gonna have millions of dollars or anything like that. It says you're gonna have clothes on your back and food in your belly. Clothes on your back and food in your belly. And Jesus says this way, and in Matthew chapter 6, when he teaches us to pray this way, he says, give us this day our daily bread. It's the idea that those of us that follow Jesus, that we will have enough for the day and then we trust him tomorrow for tomorrow. This is the picture of discipleship. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So Jesus is saying, look, you have to pray and live with the kingdom first. Colossians chapter 3. Well, let me back up and say this. That's great theology, right? I think it is. It's Jesus' words, not mine. It's great theology. It'd be nice to walk out of here or, you know, click off right now. That's the beauty of what you guys do out there. You can cut off at 14 minutes and 33 seconds. We don't know. It'd be easy to cut it off right here. Okay, seek first the kingdom of God. It kind of sounds like a Hallmark card. But it's not. When you begin to study what that means and think about what that means, it impacts every aspect of your life. In fact, we learn that seeking first the kingdom of God is prioritizing in the scripture, prioritizing God's agenda and letting his agenda influence every aspect of our agenda. That's seeking first the kingdom of God. Think about this for just a moment. We seek first the kingdom of God by prioritizing God's agenda and letting his agenda influence every aspect of our agenda. There was a book I read a long time ago, maybe 20 years ago, called In His Steps by Charles Sheldon, I believe. And the book In His Steps was all about a man, just a guy who goes to work and does his job, uses his business, though. He decides, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. And he uses his business to seek first the kingdom of God. And this story, it's fictional, but this story details all the different ways this man is used by God to impact people in ways he would have never thought about, simply because he says, hey, God, this is your life you gave to me. This is the business you gave to me. This is the place that you put me. Let your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And he gave his head, his heart, his hands, and his feet to that. He allowed his agenda to be dictated by the kingdom agenda. That is a radical concept for 21st century Americans. In fact, Leslie Newbegin, the apologist, said that 21st century Americans are Christians like this. Let me give you his illustration. So think about a jar and a marble. You put a marble in the jar. Let's say that marble represents your faith in Jesus. But then you put marbles in the jar to represent other aspects or components of your life, like your marriage, your parenting, your work life, your school life, whatever. You fill up the jar with all the marbles that are all the different components of your life. And you put a lid on it and you shake it. And he says American Christianity is like that because the faith marble bumps up against all the other marbles, but it doesn't impact the other marbles. It doesn't change their shape or their size or anything like that. It's just one more marble in the jar. And he said that's a pretty good description of what Western Christianity looks like in his day, the 20th century. It's maybe a little bit more profound even today in the 21st century. So, however, he goes on to say this, like, it should be like a spider's web. I hate spiders, I'm going to tell you. Not a fan. I'll kill a rat. I've told you the story of murdering a rat mafia style. I won't bring it up again. You can Google it and find it. I'll kill snakes, whatever. Spiders, I don't like them. And so there is, for the last 10 years, I've been living in the same house, and I walk out my back door, and there's a time of the year where, I don't know if it's the same spider or they pass this tradition down from generation to generation to generation, where they build a web between my back door and my detached garage where I have to go to get in my car to go to work every morning, and inevitably, two or three times a year, I walk right through the spider web. Chad, one of our operations guy, after the last sermon, said, spider webs are the best martial arts teachers, right? You've been there. You're like, argh. It's disgusting. Well, Leslie Newbegin says that the Christian faith should be more like a spider web. So there have been times where I 5 years in, I got kind of wise, like there's going to be a spider web out here. I'm going to find it. And you see it and it's intricate, right? It's got dew on it. It's intricate. And if you were to pull just one thread of that spider web without breaking it, just pull it, it would move the whole thing. Because it's all interconnected. And he said the faith of the Christian church should be more like that, not where faith is like a marble in a jar that just bumps up against the other aspects of our life, but an understanding that all aspects of our life are intertwined. If you pull the faith strand, it impacts everything. And this is how we have to think when we think about seeking first the kingdom of God and we think about our own lives. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if then you've been raised with Christ, meaning you've confessed Christ, you've been raised to walk in newness of life, like we saw in the picture of that in baptism today, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. And again, it seems way out there and like for some small percentage of hyper-biblical people that only dream of heavenly things, But the reality is that every disciple of Jesus, whether you're 21st century American or first century Galilean, every disciple of Jesus is to seek first the kingdom of God. That means we take our agenda, we throw it to the side, and we say, God, you are the king. We use words like this. Think about what we call him. We call him Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Think about what the Bible calls us, servants. Right? And that's the picture in this kingdom, that he is the king, there is one. He is the Lord, there is one. And we are, as followers of Jesus, his servants. So does the servant come to the Lord and say to the Lord, Lord, here's what I'm going to do today? Or does the servant come to the Lord and say, Lord, what would you like me to be and do today? It's a very different posture. We like, if we're marbles in the jar sort of Christians, we like to have that faith marble in the jar because it's like a ticket to heaven or during bad times when we need that genie in the bottle. But someone who is more a spider web sort of faith, every day they're saying, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in my life, in my family's life, in my work life, my relationships, my church, my whatever, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we seek the kingdom of God by prioritizing God's agenda and letting his agenda influence every aspect of our agenda, this concept of on earth as it is in heaven. Like he wants to use the direction of my feet, the work of my hands, the words of my mouth, the motive of my heart, the thoughts of my mind to be a part of the kingdom initiative on earth as it is in heaven. That's phenomenal. That's amazing. But I have a cautionary tale for all of us today. And the cautionary tale is this. We have a tendency, and I see it right now more than any time that I've ever seen it in my life. We have a tendency to mix and match different kingdoms and call it all the kingdom of God. There's one king, one kingdom, and his kingdom comes first. Do you know on Twitter today, how many of you are on Twitter? Anybody? Am I the only tweep in here? People hate that stuff, right? You can't go there right now. It's like a political cesspool. I'll just tell you. You could say, I love you. And someone would say, come here, let me punch you in the throat, right? It's bad out there, my friends. But today, the word biblical is trending on Twitter. And I was like, this is amazing. Biblical is trending. And then you look and it's a political thing. Like, oh, it's a political thing. It's not really biblical. Biblical means from the Bible. No, it's not. And so we just mix and we match and we do it from all different angles and parts. And here's the thing. Your politics should be affected by your kingdom first agenda, but you cannot ask the king and the kingdom to mesh with your politics. You got to go the other way. You see what I'm saying? Nobody likes to hear that. But if you're going to seek first the kingdom of God, Make sure you're seeking first the king and his kingdom and let everything else flow from that. Even when it's not going your way, let everything else flow from that. So think about these things. It's cautionary because here's why it's cautionary. Because intuitively, and you'll know exactly, you will have experienced this when I say this. Intuitively, the world, meaning everybody outside of Christ, intuitively the world knows that people of Jesus should be like Jesus. They know it. Now, maybe their perception of Jesus is off or whatever. Maybe sometimes their criticism are unfair, but largely they smell it when people of Jesus are not like Jesus. So what do they say? I'm not coming to church because it's full of hypocrites. To which I always go, you're right. The preacher's even a hypocrite. It's terrible. We're all hypocrites. We all don't get it right. That word hypocrite comes from a word meaning actor. It means you're acting. I'd say, don't let me put it on you, but probably you've acted out your faith sometimes. The world, it has the ability to sniff that out, to smell it, and it's brutal when it comes against you, the people of Jesus, in that particular way, when it comes against the church in that particular way. But here's the obstacle to the gospel. When we confuse some other kingdoms for the kingdom of God, when we decide for ourselves there's going to be something else that's first, before King Jesus, before the kingdom of God, before living on earth as it is in heaven. Anytime we put something else first, everyone smells a rat. And it is an obstacle to the gospel. Don't be confused. Don't be a confuser as a Christian. Live with the kingdom first. Live so that the kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. So at this juncture, we have to ask a difficult question. It's a difficult question that I had to ask myself even to be able to authentically preach this sermon. And the question is, what does my life prove that I am seeking first? What does my life prove that I am seeking first? And so there are a couple things you need to check. Check your motives. What is your heart chasing? Because when it says seek first the kingdom of God, it's meaning seek first the glory of the king, the expansion of his kingdom as of primary importance. Live his way, walk it out, participate in his mission as of primary importance. Let that be the pursuit of your life. And so the question becomes then, okay, what does my life prove that I am seeking first? Well, check your motives. What does your heart chase? Check your time. Do you invest your time with a kingdom first priority? Here's the thing about time. Time is a gift. Time is a gift. Nobody knows exactly how much time they have. And that, when you begin to think about that, it's surreal. And no matter how old you get, you think you have a lot more, a lot more time. And young people think they will never die. But the reality is time goes by fast and nobody knows how much of it they have. And it's a resource that we've been given as we walk the planet. It's temporal, right? That's gonna go by the wayside. But right now we have this moment, this day, this minute, and then the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. And time is a resource that we invest. It's just a question of how are you using it? I had someone in my office a church ago, and it was, I remember it blew my mind because the first time I ever did marriage counseling when video games was the point of contention. Like, really? Like, you didn't cheat on her, you're playing video games. Till 3 a.m, all the time. And you wonder why she's upset. Video, it's a waste. So some of you like hate me right now, but it's a waste. It's a waste. It could be fun, I guess. I don't like video games. It's not a thing for me, but it's What are you investing your time in? You know, social media, after about 30 seconds, it's a waste. Most TV, it's a waste. So we all have a certain amount of time, right? Well, how are we investing in it? Does it show that we seek first the kingdom with our time? So check your motives, check your time, check your discourse. Is it flavored by kingdom or culture? Do you sound just like the culture or do you sound like Jesus? How are you speaking to people? Do you speak to people one way in this building, another way at home, another way at work? Or are you the same in your discourse everywhere you go? Check your discourse. Is it flavored by kingdom or culture? Check your money. What is your investment? Like, here's another resource we have to invest. Are we seeking first the kingdom with our money? Most people are like marble Christians when it comes to money. Like, my faith, when it bumps up against the money marble, it might clash with it a little bit, but that's about it. It doesn't change shape, doesn't affect each other. The truth of the matter is everything we have comes from God. Anything that we have comes from him. That's the point of the other verses in this passage. And so because of that, we give back to him whatever. So what if I, instead of just saying, hey, I've already put my, you know, this is what I budgeted. Here's my plan. What if we said, God, what do you want me to do with the money you're giving to me this month, this week, this year, whatever? Just like time. It's a resource to invest. So check your money. Check your politics. Whose agenda comes first, the king and the kingdom or somebody else's or some other group of people? Everybody's going to have politics. But kingdom first, for someone who is kingdom first, the kingdom impacts the politic marble in the jar. It becomes not a marble, but a piece of the spider web that is impacted by the whole. How about this? Check your burden. Everybody's burdened about something. But the question is, are you burdened about the same things the king is burdened about? I mean, read the scripture. You can find that he's burdened about certain things. He's burdened about sin. He's burdened about sin in the church, about sin in the world. So much so that he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross. He's burdened that people would come to know him, that they would repent and be baptized and saved from a lost eternity into a saved paradise that's sonship and daughterhood with God. He's burdened for the glory of his name. He's burdened that his people, the people of God, would learn to love God, him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's burdened that they would learn to love their neighbor and their enemy. He's burdened about these things. Are you burdened about the same things that Jesus is burdened about? I mean, this is what it means to make kingdom the first priority. Are you burdened about things that are not a burden to Jesus? I'm coaching junior high soccer now, believe it or not, which is very fun. I'm having a blast. And so one of the kids was like, we need to pray that Jesus wants us to win this game. And I was thinking to myself, okay, but let's just play really hard because I'm not sure that's his burden that we win this game. I didn't say it, but I was thinking it, you know? But I am sure his burden is that everyone knows him, that the church is like salt and light. And do you see how we get it mixed up? Like, do you think God loves football or soccer or... I mean, can he use it? Yeah. I'm meddling now. Like, I feel the football people like, ooh, soccer, you're okay. But don't talk about football. Are you kidding me? It's the Lord's game. See all the big stadiums? Archaeologists are going to dig those things up. It's true. We see them in the other places, big stadiums, dug up. It's part of the culture. It's part of the culture, but do you know that God may not care if your team wins? You care. Do you think God is an Aggie or a Baylor Bear? Seek first the kingdom. Okay? Those things are fun. They're part of the culture. Don't put them on God necessarily. Can he use it? Does he use sports to help people come to Christ, to shape people? Yeah, he uses all that, all those relationships and coaches and team, and he uses all of it. But make sure you're burdened about the things that burden the king. And then here's the last thing. Just check your worry. What are you worried about? Matthew 6:34, the end of this, it says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So let's live today. Let's seek first the kingdom of God today. Let's walk in his peace today. Trust him for tomorrow. Tomorrow. Passed a guy yesterday on the street. Actually, I was standing outside a shop while my girls were inside. I'm standing outside doing this thing, waiting for them to come out. And passed this guy. I said, "How's it going?" He said, "Good, I woke up today." I said, "Me too." It's good. But there's some goodness to that. I thought about it for how I didn't have anything else to do. So I thought about it. Like, he's right. I woke up today. Got a heartbeat in my chest, breath in my lungs, shirt on my back, roof over my head. Bless the Lord. You know? Let his agenda dictate your agenda. Jesus teaches us to seek first the kingdom of God. He teaches us to pray and live the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Let's bow our head and close our eyes and just ask the Lord to speak to you about you. If you know it, would you just pray this out loud with me? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, we want to seek first your kingdom and our day and in the moment that you've placed us here and among the people you've put us among. So God, I pray that your words through your son would seep deeply into our bones today. That we would check our motives, our time, our money, our politics, our burdens, our worries, that we would come to you and just say, like, Lord, what do you want? You're the king. I'm the servant. Lord, make this church a church known for being all about the kingdom first, because each person that makes up this church lives to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Give us everything we need, Lord, to make that your will and your way a reality in this place through these people. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.